And good morning. You may be seated. And welcome back to Church Sunday. Great to have you with us again. And guests, we're delighted to have you part of our family this morning. It's so good to see you. You know, when times get tough.
What do we do?
Yes, when you feel alone. When you're tired, maybe just defeated in life. You're broken. Things are just not lining up the way you thought they should line up in your life. That's when you need real hope in your life. To have a community, to have a fellowship that cares for you, that is church. That's why we're having Back to Church Sunday. Once again, we know this, but to remind us of why we fellowship and why we come together, because we need hope, a place to belong, a place in our lives just to be renewed each week. To get another encouraging word from God, how to make it through just one more day, another week with Him, where you can find support, where you can find people that care about you, that love you, will pray with you, will befriend with you, will talk with you, to come together by your side when you're hurting. That is church. And where you can find answers to life's greatest questions that you have. And most importantly, hope. Hope that can be found only in Jesus Christ. Come every Sunday, wake up every morning expecting God to do great things in your life, and He will, because I know this, hope is found here. That is church. Someone asked, if you were to go through the dictionary of all the English words, what would you find to be the saddest words in the English language? And the top three made it, and that was unloved, lonely, and then hopelessness. People that are hopeless. I want us to draw attention. You don't have to turn there if you want to. You can, to Acts chapter 2. I'm just going to read a few short verses from there to get our minds' attention to what happened just shortly, 50 days, only 50 days after Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again for us. After that, 50 days later, this is what happened in Acts chapter 2. The church gets started. It says they went out and began to preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They went out to preach the good news to people that were hopeless, that were hurting, that were lonely, that felt unloved. People listened, and it says thousands and thousands on that day came to know Jesus. They came to know the true hope. So the words go like this in Acts chapter 2. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and were added to the church that day, about 3,000. In all, the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had, and they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and great generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. And I can tell you this, you cannot do it alone. It's impossible. I did this. I went through those verses and I circled all the words, themselves, all, they, those, they, together, all, there, those, all, while, and going on and on. It wasn't one person. It was everybody joining together to make the church, church. They knew they needed each other, and they knew they needed hope. If we could just pause just a few moments and look intently into this heart-rending paragraph, I think you would agree with me this morning and realize the church gives us a place to belong. Amen. It's a big world out there. Coming to church makes that world smaller, where we can come together and help each other and love each other and pray for one another. The passage reads in Acts is absolutely flooded with the word fellowship. They all came together. Jesus gives the new believers in this sense of church a sense of identity, a sense of belonging, a sense of coming together, that a level that you cannot find in this world if you were to go look for it. You cannot find it, but you can find it here in church. Yeah. All of us, every single one of us, what you're looking for, you're looking for a place to belong. A place to feel loved, a place where people care about you, that there's something bigger than yourself that you need to be a part of. And that's a family. And I'll tell you this, we are not a perfect family. Surprise? No. But we do have a perfect Father who loves us and takes care of us. So we come to Main Place. Welcome to Main Place Christian Fellowship this morning. I like cartoons, and I like watching how they unfold. And if you've ever read Calvin and Hobbes, Calvin and Hobbes has a comic strip, and the conversation takes place, and it goes like this. Calvin speaks to Hobbes and says, "Live for the moment. That's my motto. You never know how long you've got." And the second frame goes over and says, "You could step out into the road tomorrow and wham, just get hit by a trash truck. Then you'd be sorry you put off all of your pleasures. That's what I say, live for the moment." And then the third frame goes over, and then he asks Hobbes, Calvin says, "What is your motto?" Hobbes replies, "My motto is just simply look down the road." So I want us to look down the road. What do you see coming? No. For Christians, when we look down the road, we see something better than that. We see hope. We see Jesus Christ. We see one who loves us. We look expectantly for his return. We look for hope in Jesus Christ, something that's yet to come for us. That is hope, something that we get to look forward to. So, but before we look down the road and look to something, can I help you? Let us take a moment and let's look back. Let's look back this morning. When Jesus came at Christmas, he gave us a living hope. He gave us the face of God, who God is. He put that face on something that the world had never known at this time. The Bible says that Christ is the invisible image of the invisible God. He is that visible image that this world was looking for. God came to earth wrapped in a human body that day. The God of heaven came to live among us. That's why at Christmas time we sing what? Emmanuel, God with us. That's what Christmas song says. We look back, we see that Jesus came. He came to die so that you and I could be forgiven. He rose from the dead so that we can know how we also will be raised from the dead one day. He promised us that he will return one day, and the eternal hope that burns within our hearts, that gives us that hope to keep going day after day after day. So I want you to imagine for a moment with me this morning, if you would, just take a deep breath and just relax and just imagine what this world would look like if God, in the form of Jesus Christ, had not come to earth. There would be no Christmas. There would be no Christmas gifts. There would be no greatest gift of Jesus Christ himself to this world. There would be no carols, no hymns to sing. Wow, how lonely that would be at Christmas time that we could not sing about Jesus Christ. Many hospitals today would not exist because hospitals were built from the hearts of men and women who loved God and had a compassion for the sick. There would be no churches on every corner. In fact, would there ever even be a church? Would there be a Main Place this morning where you could come and fellowship and call this your home, your family? We wouldn't even probably have half the Bible. Maybe just the Old Testament. We wouldn't have heard and seen the love of a personal God demonstrated in his son Jesus Christ on the cross. We've never seen that. So without Jesus this morning, you remember Mary Magdalene in the New Testament? She would have died in her sins. Matthew still would have been a traitor to his countrymen. The Roman soldier, remember at the cross? He would have continued his cruelty to the people around him, killing people. Remember Peter, James, and John, the three guys that always hung out with Jesus, would have done nothing more than live their lives as fishermen the rest of their lives. How sad would that have been? How about the Apostle Paul, the greatest apostle in the world, in the New Testament, would have never been more than a cruel Pharisee who stepped into legalism and lived there, unrelentingly killing people, demanding perfection from other people. How about the people, the common people, put myself there, that just needed healing, that just needed hope in life, felt lonely, felt discouraged? What do you do with those common people that their names are not in our New Testament that needed healing during the time of Christ? They would still be broken. They would still be lonely. they would still be hopeless in this world. The lame would still be lame. The blind would be remained in their darkness and not see. The deaf, oh, they still lived in silence. He was a friend of sinners, yeah, and a friend of failures. Amen. And a friend of fools. It's all that. So without Jesus, you and I would have never heard the words in John, peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Amen. We would not have heard the words in John 15. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy will remain in you, and that your joy will be full. How about over in John 10? The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what a thief does. But Jesus said, I have come that they might have life. Not only life, but you might have life more abundantly. Amen. That is hope this morning. He was with us 2,000 years ago. And I tell you today, he is with us today. Amen. Here today with us. And he is with us now in this present moment where you live. He understands your hopelessness, your loneliness, your frustrations. He understands your fears. He showed us what he was like, and his name is love. Amen. He came because he cared for you. He taught us not only to use the value of this world to determine our worth. Don't ever do that. Because in Matthew 20, 16, it says, those who are last now will be first then. And those who are first will be last. He taught us to take our value from God, who is more important than anybody else to put value on your life, because that's the kind of person he is. He values you. He loves you. And because of that, how do I know all this? It's because we see in the life of Jesus over and over and over again in the New Testament, the outcast of our society seemed to be his specialty. Oh, Jesus loved that. He loved the outcast, the sinful. He loved the sick. He loved the poor. He loved the weak. These were people that he pulled out of the trash heaps of life and transformed them into his treasures. And that is you and that is me. That's how much he loves you. And that's how much he cares for you. And just because Christ showed us what God was like, he wants us to be like him. We have been transformed by his grace this morning and been renewed by his love. You're sitting here this morning as a trophy of his grace. That's how he values you. We can extend grace to others. Why? Because God extended his grace to us. So we can show grace to other people. We can forgive. Why? Because he forgave us. We can give. Why? Because he gave to us. We can live. Why? Because he has given us eternal life. He is our living hope this morning. Amen. That's why we have church. That's why we encourage and pray for people every day in our community, because people are looking for hope. Yes. If Jesus hadn't come, we would be missing a Savior. You realize that? Mm-hmm. Think for a moment the worst thing that you've ever done. Don't spend too much time there. The thing that makes your brain just burn with shame. And think of what it would be like if Jesus had not come and you couldn't be forgiven of that. How would you go on? How would you live? How could you ever be forgiven? What would that be like? The guilt that would never be relieved in your life. The punishment would always just be hanging over your head in your life. How would you deal with that? But since Jesus came, made all the difference, forgiveness has come to those of us who accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That is grace. We know the freedom that forgiveness brings because of grace. Grace is now a word in your vocabulary. It's in your dictionary because Jesus came. Grace made it in there. And we now hear the words of the New Testament, for by grace are you saved through faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is hope. That's why the church is here, to proclaim that good news to people that are scared, that are hopeless, that are frightened. When children, we live because God has forgiven us as his children through grace. We are now a child of God. But more than this, more than forgiveness, what it brings to your life is an amazing transformation. You say, how do you witness? How do you tell somebody about the good news? How do you tell somebody hope? The transformation that's taken place in your own personal life. Share that testimony with other people. It says this in 2 Corinthians, so all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord, who is Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. You know, Jesus did not come just to clean our hearts. He came to change our hearts, to transform your life and my life. And all of this for one grand purpose. And what is that grand purpose? It's the hope that we now have in him. How can you keep your chin up every morning? How can you face Monday morning? Hope. Hope in Jesus Christ. Think of the world would be like if there were no hope. You ever attend a funeral? What would you say at a funeral to a loved one, to the family there that are looking for hope? They're looking for answers. If Jesus hadn't come, there would be no hope beyond the grave. The coldness of that tomb, the coldness of that grave. Soon as that casket lit shut, you ask, where is hope? Where's my loved one? There wouldn't be any hope of a resurrection. There wouldn't be eternal life if Jesus hadn't come to give us hope. It says this in our Bibles, if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more than pitied or fools than anybody else in this world. But see, it's not. Our hope is looking down the road, expecting what's yet to come.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. We live in a joyful anticipation of what is to come this morning, Main Place, and to our guests. It says this in Revelations, and I heard a loud voice, a voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And I shall be their people. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more hopelessness, no more crying. There shall be no more pain. Why, the former things, they have passed away. That is hope. That is hope this morning. It says this in 1 John 5. I have written these things that hope is certain for Christians. He said, I have written these things to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Yes. We have redemption, we have salvation, we have hope in Jesus Christ, and it's only through him. Amen. One thing we do know is this. Without Jesus Christ, there is no hope.
That's right.
So if you're sitting here this morning contemplating this, on wherever you are in your spiritual journey this morning, trying to figure out life, you feel hopeless. You feel kind of confused on what is the answer to life. Where should I be? Where am I going? What can I do with where I'm at today? Can I tell you this? Hope is based on a fact that God loves you.
Yeah.
Hope is based on the conviction that God cares for you. And hope is based in the final assurance that God wants to be with you. He loves you. So what is your motto for life? Is it like Calvin's or Hobbes? You just live for the moment? Or do you look down the road expecting to see Jesus?
Amen.
That he's coming. That he can bring you hope this morning. It's available to everybody. The only catch is you have to receive it.
Yes.
You have to accept it personally for yourself. And if you receive this hope, you could be assured that Jesus Christ will come in and forgive you and save you. And you can have that eternal hope to be with him in heaven. So at this moment, would you just close your eyes, bow your heads for a brief moment? If you're here this morning, as I've already talked about, wrestling with this Jesus, wrestling with this hopelessness in your life, trying to find the answers to what is this church thing all about? Why church? Because church is the answer, the message of Jesus Christ that brings hope to hopeless people. And that's through the love of Jesus Christ. That's our desire here at Main Place, that we would reflect God's love to a world that's hurting, looking for answers. So if you're here this morning, I'm not going to say a magical prayer for you or something that's going to just make you feel better, but something that is crucial in your life. It could be the very turning point that you're looking for this morning to have hope. And many of us said it through a prayer, and that prayer is praying to God and thanking Him for sending His Son, Jesus Christ, that Jesus did come. So I'm going to walk you through a prayer. If this is your first time hearing this, or you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, pray something like this in your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, come to You this morning, yes, confused, don't quite understand everything, but hearing the word hope this morning is what I need. And that hope is found in Jesus Christ. So this morning, I thank You that He came. I thank You that He died on the cross. I thank You that He rose again. And with all that I can muster up in my life, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and ask You to forgive me for my sins and to come into my life and to save me. In Jesus' name, amen.